Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 17. We'll be looking this morning at verses 5 and 6 as we deal with Jesus' teaching on faith and see that a little faith goes a long way. The context will read verses 1 through 10. Let us now begin our reading and hearing of God's word at Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once, sit down and eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" The reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, teach us, instruct us, not filling our heads with knowledge that puffs up, but filling our hearts with truth that humbles us before you, that causes us to desire you, to see you in all of your beauty, to gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And so this morning, talking about faith, I wanted to begin by letting you know some faith that I had to exercise a few weeks ago. So I was out in my backyard, and my two youngest came to me, and they said, Dad, as they often do, "You've got to see this." I guess they had built a fort, and they really wanted me to see it, but they didn't want me to see it until they were ready. So here's what they said: "Close your eyes." Now, I was pretty far away from the fort, and I have a lot of trees in my yard. So I want you to picture this. "Close your eyes, Dad." And one child has one hand and one has the other. And here I am, eyes closed, I'm being led. And I've got a lot of trees, and I've got a lot of trees with lower hanging branches. Some of them, when I'm mowing, I'm like, okay, I need to trim that because I'm going to hit it. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'll close my eyes. And I did, but I'm thinking, I'm very tentative because I think I'm going to smack one of these branches with my head. My kids are short. They're going to walk right under it, and they're going to lead me right into it. And I'm going to end up with an imprint of bark on my forehead. But I did. I kept my eyes closed. I didn't hit a tree, and I got there. And so I had to exercise that faith. Now, my children had good intentions, but I wasn't so sure about their ability. Now, I want to raise the stakes, though. Imagine if they had asked me to walk across a narrow bridge with no railings over a 1,000-foot drop. Sorry. Not closing my eyes. Probably not even going out on that thing. But certainly not going to close my eyes and allow you to lead me across that. But today we're talking about something where the stakes are so much higher. The stakes are eternity. Eternity. Faith matters, doesn't it? We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. And God is leading us, but he's not leading us over a 1,000-foot drop. He's leading us, as it were, over the very pits of hell. And so as we walk this walk of faith, God says to us, take the next step. take the next step. But we often say, God, I have no idea where I'm going. God responds, trust me, I know the way. We say, God, what if I falter? What if I fall? And God says this, child, I am holding on to you. I will not let you go. So we see that faith, as I hope to show, is not in our faith, but in the object of our faith. Faith is placed in the one in whom we trust. That he has not only has the good intentions like my children had, but he has the ability to do what he says. Now, Jesus here in this teaching is teaching about many things. Recall he began by warning against false teaching, offenses that would come in to the church. In fact, offenses that would rise up in the church. He says, take heed to yourselves. Watch out. Guard your own heart. He also then goes on. He teaches about forgiveness. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And not only that, if he sins against you 7 times in one day, forgive him 7 times in one day. In other words, forgive the one who sins against you every day, all day. Now, the disciples then, who Luke rightly calls the apostles here, remember Luke is writing after these events, and these are the 12 who then became apostles. He calls them apostles. They ask a question. They ask Jesus to do something for them in verse 5. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. We're gonna see in a little bit why they would have asked him that. But Jesus responds not by saying, that's such a great request, I'm going to increase your faith. No, Jesus responds by saying the faith you have already is enough. Because even small faith, because faith believes in a great God, can do marvelous things. So we might put it this way, a little faith goes a long way when it is placed in the God who is faithful. A little faith goes a long way when it is placed in the God who is faithful. That's crucial. Where is your faith directed? Who is the object of your faith? We'll see 2 things. The apostles' request for increased faith and Jesus' reminder of genuine faith. Well, the apostles do ask for increased faith. They said to the Lord in verse 5, increase our faith. Why? Why did they ask for increased faith? Well, Jesus has just told them a few things. They were obviously listening to his teaching. Jesus has told them that false teaching is going to come. You're going to need to watch yourself. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to others. Oh, and not only that, you're going to need to forgive everyone who sins against you. That's a tall order. Something that's hard to do. They had been commanded to do what perhaps to them seemed humanly impossible. And so they cry out, as it were, Lord, increase our faith. They wanted to do it, but they had no idea how to do it. They knew they needed more strength. It's not a wrong understanding to desire that. Faith is the saving root of all religion. Faith is the empty hand that receives Christ and all his benefits. What does Hebrews 11:6 say? He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's faith. So it's not necessarily wrong to pray for increased faith. No, faith is the gift of God, and God loves to give this gift. But it can be wrong to pray for increased faith if we're doing so with a wrong understanding. And so it could be that the disciples, and I think it very well may be that the disciples had a poor understanding here. Because Jesus doesn't respond with, okay, I'm answering that prayer, I'm increasing your faith. He responds by directing them to the object of faith, not the size of faith. And so what we see here, when we think about maybe an incorrect understanding of faith, is this, that this request, by revealing a potential misunderstanding of faith, revealed that the disciples may have been thinking that faith was about them. Increase our faith. increase our faith. That's the mistake, to think that faith is about us. Faith is not about us. It is not about what we do. It is not about the size of our faith. It is not about the strength of our faith. No. Otherwise, we would have faith in faith. And I think that's a danger today. The danger today for us in the church and for people everywhere is to simply take faith out of its context, divorce faith from its object, and say that we have strong faith because we have faith in faith. There's a danger in idolizing faith. I was confronted with these questions in a commentary. I love this. Was your faith crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of your faith? You see, the danger is that if we make an idol out of our faith, we might start to think this way. I'm a person of faith. I have strong faith. I can handle it. I can do it. Satan would love for you to think of faith in this way, because it would put your confidence right back on yourself. Put it this way. This type of trust in our faith makes God unnecessary. Let me say that again. This type of trust in our faith makes God unnecessary. Because who are we trusting in? We're trusting in ourselves. Remember Peter walking on the water. He's looking at Jesus. Takes his eyes off of him. Starts to sink. It's a concept. We can never take our eyes off the object of our faith. Faith is about God, not us. Because here's the reality. Faith is only as good as the object in which it's placed. Faith is only as good as the object in which it's placed. And so Jesus answers the apostles. They ask the question, increase our faith. Jesus answers this request by saying, here's the way. Don't focus on your faith. Don't look at your faith. But focus on the object of your faith. Don't focus on your faith. Focus on the object of your faith. Maybe put it this way. Don't worry about the size of your faith. Worry about the size of your God. It's not about your faith, it's about God's faithfulness. It's not great faith, but genuine faith that matters. That's what Jesus brings out here in verse 6. As he answers them, he speaks of this genuine faith. Be it ever so little, if it's genuine, it will accomplish great things. The Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, this very small seed, he uses this as an illustration of something very small. If your faith is as a mustard seed, is very small, you can say to this mulberry tree. Perhaps there was a mulberry tree there. Probably was. Jesus used illustrations, things around him in his preaching. This mulberry tree that you have to understand the trees there, this mulberry tree, it had deep, deep roots. It would drive deep down into the ground. He says, even with faith as little as the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree that has deep roots, be uprooted. And not only be uprooted, but be cast and planted into the sea. What Jesus is saying here is that genuine faith is not about quantity. Genuine faith is not about quantity. Increase our faith. Jesus says it's not about the size or the quantity of your faith. And that's a mistake that we can make. In fact, we probably have heard some of these sayings. And I want you to think with me, what is misleading about these sayings? What is left out? With faith, all things are possible. With faith, all things are possible. How about this one? Ordinary people with faith can do extraordinary things. How about all you need is faith? Faith can move mountains. Now, there are hints of truth here, aren't they? You go to a store, you're going to find these things. But what's missing? The object. The object. Who's that faith in? You see, these all may lead us to believe that it is about our faith, about the quantity of our faith. Oh, if I have more faith, all things will be possible for me. Oh, I may be an ordinary person, but my faith is extraordinary. Therefore, I can do it. This one, all you need is faith. Wow. What's missing? God, the object of our faith. Anyone can take these. Doesn't matter what religion you follow, or if you follow no religion at all, you can take these sayings and use them. Because they're divorced completely from the object of faith. But Jesus tells us here, genuine faith is about two things. First, it is a faith that is present in us. It's not about the quantity, it's about the presence of faith. If you have faith, Jesus says, if you have it at all, it doesn't matter how big or how small, if you have it, is it present? Has God given you the gift of faith? And second, is that faith that is present placed in the right object? It's placed in God, in me. Jesus is standing before them. Jesus is the one who has been continually calling them to trust in Him. It says that Jesus is saying, yes, to you, identifying false teaching, and even evaluating your own heart, and forgiving your brother when he sins against you 7 times a day, seems impossible. But let me tell you, it is not when you trust in me to give you the strength to do it. Any more than saying to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. It would obey you. Now, Jesus is not saying here, go, and as one commentator put it, get in trouble with the EPA and start uprooting plants everywhere and throwing them into the sea. But what Jesus is saying is that whatever I ask you to do, when you trust in me to give you the strength to do it, you can do it. In fact, there are words that no Christian should ever use when talking about doing the will of God. Never and can't. I could never do that. No, sorry. I can't do that. No, again. Jesus is saying, I tell you, whatever I ask you to do, believe that I give you all things necessary to do it, and do it. Do it. Faith might be small, that's okay. But a faith that trusts in God, a faith that trusts in God is what matters. You see, God can do a lot with a little trust. That's what faith is. What does the catechism say? Question 21. What is true faith? It ends with that great description that faith is a hearty trust. That's a hearty trust in who? In God. In what He has promised. And this genuine faith should be pursued. Genuine faith can be little or great. It can be weak or strong. That is true. It's not wrong to desire to grow in faith, but we have to ask the question, how do we do that? I wonder if you desire that. I hope you do. But then how do we do that? Well, there are some faulty ways. Maybe we think we can do it by our willpower. Believe, have faith. Okay, let me just will it. If I just will myself to believe more, then poof, I'll believe more. No, we can't will ourselves to believe more, to trust in God more, any more than we can will ourselves to be an inch or two taller. What about intellectual learning? Now, I'm not discounting learning. We need to study God's Word. But faith, know this, faith is not an intellectual pursuit. In fact, faith informs reason. Faith informs reason, not the other way around. We come to God's Word. We say, God, you spoke to us. I don't come to your word and say, I'm going to make it submit to my reason, even though it is most reasonable. But I'm going to come to your word by faith, trusting in what you say. And we certainly don't increase in faith by simply denying reality. We can't just suspend reality and put it out of our minds and not deal with doubts. No, we need to deal with these things, and God asks us to do so. Come and hear me speak to you. Try me, test me. Faith is not blind belief. But here's what I know. Your faith will never increase if you focus on increasing your faith. In other words, if you just focus on your faith, because you're putting your focus in the wrong place. In fact, faith increases as our faith fades into the background and God's faithfulness comes into the foreground. When we look more and more at the object of our faith increases. When we meditate upon God's faithfulness, past, present, and promised faithfulness, our faith will grow because our understanding of who our faith is placed in is growing. That's that terminology again that the Heidelberg Catechism in question 21 uses. That hearty trust, that personal trust, a hearty trust not only to others, but to me also. God has done these things. He has promised them to me. He's promised them to Christopher. I lay hold of them and trust in him. And the more I do, the more I grow in faith. Why? Because I am growing in relationship with the faithful one. That's the thing. That's the important thing. See, don't think of faith as some thing out there that simply we need to grow. No. No. In fact, the way that we build and strengthen, the way that we are strengthened, because it's God who does the strengthening, the way that we are strengthened in our faith is that we grow in a deeper relationship with the one who is faithful. That's it. We know him. And how do you build trust? You know, again, the catechism, hearty trust. How do you build trust with another person? Well, you spend time with them. You spend time with them. And as you spend time with them and they keep their word, trust builds. And so how do you grow in your trust of God as a faithful God? You spend time with him. What are we doing here today? We're spending time with God. That's what we need to do. So God has given us clearly the way in which we go deeper with him. In fact, our prayer should not necessarily be increase our faith, but our prayer should be help us grow and go deeper in relationship with you, God, the faithful one. Now, how do we do that? God says, here's how you do it. I've given you the means, the word and sacraments. You come and you hear the word preached. You read the word. You meditate upon the word. You will trust me more and more. The sacraments, that visible sign. The word is spoken. The sacraments are a visible sign to us. Baptism, that sign, not of our faithfulness, but of God's faithfulness. That he promises when we come to him that he will surely wash our sins with the blood of Christ as water washes dirt away from our body. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that we can know when we approach that holy table by true faith, that as surely as we eat the bread, as surely as we drink the wine, so we know that we have communion and union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, faith grows as we know and experience the faithfulness of God. And this is true because our faith is not in our faith, but it is in the faithfulness of God. And so the apostles here, they began in verse 5 with this request, didn't they? They prayed for increased faith. Jesus responded, we might say, in this way. You have enough faith. Just use it. And trust in me. It's not the size of your faith. It's not the strength of your faith. It's who your faith looks to. I put it this way, it is not great faith in God, but faith in a great God that matters. It is not great faith in God, but faith in a great God that matters. And faith even little faith goes a long way when it is placed in the God who is faithful. And I want this to be an encouragement to those of you who struggle. Maybe this is you now. You're struggling. You're thinking, I have the weakest faith ever. I'm barely holding on. Everyone else seems to be super saints with supersized faith, but me. I'm little and weak. I'm the one that the book of Hebrews describes as one whose arms, they're hanging down. I don't even have strength to lift them. Whose knees are feeble, they're going to buckle under me. You falter, you fail, you sin again and again. Satan comes and he tempts you. He tries to pull your gaze away from Christ. He's like that disruptive student in a class who wants to pull your attention away from the teacher. I'm telling you, don't turn aside. Look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Gaze upon Him. Trust in Him. Remember this truth, if and when, and you will struggle. You will have times where you are struggling. Maybe something happens in your life. Sin, suffering, whatever it is, you will have times. But remember this. Go back to this time and remember this. It is not the size or the strength of your faith that matters. It is the size and the strength of the one in whom that faith is placed. That's what matters. And let me tell you this. If that one is the God of the universe, then your faith, mustard size as it is more than enough because He is always faithful to His promises. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, thank You for Your Word and for Your faithfulness. Help us to gaze upon You. Help us to meditate upon Your promises. To know that Your Word is true, for You are not a man that You should lie. Know that You have sworn not upon anything else but upon Yourself to accomplish Your purposes and plans for Your people. And God, help us not to gaze upon our own faith, not to make our faith an idol, but to look beyond our faith to the object of our faith, to You, our faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.